And now, a word from our sponsors.
One of the sections that people really struggle with the most on the DAT is the Perceptual Ability Test, or the PAT.
Luckily, we've partnered with PAT Crusher to help you guys succeed. These guys are legit. In fact, their service has the highest average reported score out of any service at 23, which is more than competitive for every school in the country.
Now, some of you may be taking the DAT for the second time and want to know what you should be doing differently. These guys have a 100% higher score guarantee, so if your score doesn't go up, you get a refund.
We believe in PAT Crusher so much that we're offering 50% off when you use the code PODCAST, all lowercase, on their website, patcrusher.com.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the
Pre-Dental Podcast.
Boom.
That was better than last week.
That was better. We're getting the hang of it, even though this is our 15th episode?
It is our 15th episode, I think. Last week's was pretty bad because I had to call in over the phone, so it was kind of...
Yeah,
because
Emily had quintuplets or sextuplets, whatever
it was. Exactly. So this is exciting. So what's going on in PDP world?
Well, we're on episode 15, and iOS 14 just came out.
Coincidence? So
I think not.
I don't think so either. Yeah, iOS 14, I mean, it's pretty cool. It has the widgets and things like that. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a throwback to when you could jailbreak your iPod Touch, like back in middle school.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're changing all the features on it.
See, I never did that. I was always too afraid to do that.
Well, you were born before.
I was born when we could ride dinosaurs.
Yeah, you didn't, the iPod Touch was just like a stone that you played with down by the river.
Exactly. That is exactly right.
All right, what else is going on? Well, we got Hurricane Marco. That shouldn't have even been
a hurricane. That was so sad.
Marco, like some other people, it was very underwhelming and performed quickly.
And of course, Marco brought Laura with him too. He always has to bring somebody with him. But anyway, at least that didn't turn out to be anything. We should have expected that, but
it's fine.
It is.
And then I guess our final piece here is the fall weather that's coming. I mean, it's not really fall in New Orleans because fall doesn't happen here.
It doesn't exist here. Yeah, it's a figment of our imagination. It actually does feel so good outside. I mean, my air conditioning, this is how I know I'm getting old. My air conditioning didn't run any yesterday, and I've been so happy about it. It ran for like 30 minutes on Saturday. I'm getting old and thinking about things like that.
Yeah, you poor guy here. Well, anyways, we have a special guest with us today. We are going to advise you all to buckle up because she's very smart and speaks extremely fast. So be careful. And our first question for you is, you went to Auburn for undergrad, and then you went to Bama for dental school.
Let me clarify. I went to the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which has its own football team and different conference.
Okay,
thank you. Keep going.
You've already offended her.
And then you went to LSU for not one, but two residencies. So I did not know this information about Alabama, so it makes this question a little different. However, who in the SEC do you root for?
Auburn. Every time.
Oh, no.
But LSU every week but one.
Oh.
I'm actually from Slidell, which is in Louisiana, and my entire family is LSU fans, and so they give me such a hard time anyway. So I won't cheer for LSU around them, but I will in my normal life.
So what brought you to Auburn if you grew up here in Louisiana?
Yeah, I think when I finished, a lot of people that I had grown up with were all going to go to LSU for college, and I just wanted to do something different. But in hindsight, when I look at the schools that I applied to, let me see if you can guys pick up on my theme. So I applied to Georgia, Southern Cal, Texas, Florida State, Auburn. So pretty much there's no rhyme or reason. It was just football programs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And Auburn was just so amazing. It was such a cool campus. It was so pretty. I just fell in love with it. And, like, they had all the programs I wanted to do and no regrets whatsoever because, I mean, I did everything I could in college. Like, I was there for 4.5 years and, like, did it all.
That's awesome. That's really Auburn, cool. I mean, it would be really cool to go to Auburn. I mean, I went to a small, tiny school in Arkansas, so it was a little bit different. Of course, Marco went to Arkansas, so, I mean.
The U of A.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Love it. Exactly. Go Hogs, baby.
Go Hogs.
Go Hogs. I swear, we gave y'all the best and worst gift ever, and that is Chad Morris as the offensive coordinator. I love how his first game at Auburn, y'all put up the lowest numbers.
You're just like, here's the package. Do with it what you will.
Yeah, just go with it.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Gus was like, yeah, you know, when you have a guy like Chad, you don't not let him take control of the offense, and all of Arkansas was just laughing about it.
Smacking their heads and saying, that's what you probably should do. Now, come on. Gus has a plan. It's a crazy plan, but we're all on board to just follow along.
We'll see. We'll see.
Did Marco actually introduce you?
No.
I don't think he introduced
you. Did you introduce her?
You were talking. You just started talking about random stuff.
I love that he wanted to bust me on Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he
badly.
Like, had to get to it so
I've been thinking about that
there.
Joke for a couple days now. I don't get a lot of good jokes in, so.
So, Dr. Owens is a periodontist, and we have her here on the show, and we're so thankful that you're here. Thank you for doing this. So, our first real question, besides Marco's question, is, what is perio?
That is such a complicated question.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. So perio is pretty much everything around the teeth, right? So dealing with gums, bone, things that are holding the teeth into place. And it's actually a really great field of dentistry because we have such a variety of things that we do. So the biggest thing, and the thing that I think most people know about, would be periodontal disease. So when you have gum disease and it gets to the point where maybe you need more specialized treatment, we have a lot of patients that what we're trying to do is actually fight to keep their teeth. And that's part of what I get to do on a daily basis. But the other things we get to do is just some really, really fun stuff. So basically, it's like all the gross but really cool parts of dentistry. So like we do flap surgeries to try to, you know, keep teeth that otherwise the patient would have to get them pulled. We do gum grafting to cover recessions when a patient's maybe, you know, having sensitivity or they don't like the way something looks because they brush their teeth too hard. We get to do bone grafting to try to keep teeth that otherwise they'd have to go. And we do a lot of dental implants and dental implant preparation and trying to rebuild what was missing. So it's a really varied field. And it's just the best of all the worlds of dentistry because I have really cool surgeries that I get to do on patients. And then I have patients that I get to see them every 3 months and manage them pretty much for the rest of our lives.
And see, that's what I thought was cool. Like when we first began our perio class, I had no idea. I mean, I think that's like most people. I mean, they just don't know what perio is and how involved it is and how many surgeries you can do. And it's just really neat.
Well, and especially in dental school, because I think a lot of times it's just not represented correctly. When you're a dental student, a lot of times with perio, the only thing that you really get to do and really get to dive in on is some stuff that sometimes gets a little tedious. So doing exams and doing deep cleanings, or what we call scaling and root planing. And I think because that's a lot of times what people experience, then if they don't ever get to see some of the other things we get to do, you'd really not understand the scope of what a periodontist can do.
Right.
But yeah, it's such a cool field, I think.
It really is. It really is. It's been awesome just being in class and just seeing all the PowerPoints and all the slides and all the surgeries, and it's just really
awesome. No, I will say, that's exciting to hear.
No, I will say that there was actually a lot of chatter in our group, me, and like just general talks after that first PowerPoint. It's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that perio was so involved and did all these different things, and that was kind of gory, but I feel like getting acclimated to dental school, when you start seeing things like that, it's like a bad car wreck that you don't want to look away from.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like, I don't know why, but like, I want to continue looking at this,
right.
And I want to learn more about
it. And I think that's why we came to dental school too, because that first year we're in micro and histo and just gearing up for things like this, so we kind of know the background. And it's just, you know, looking at micro slides isn't too exciting. So when we see like bloody perio slides, it's like, wow, look at that stuff.
See, but the other thing that I love about perio is all that stuff that you learned in micro and the stuff that you learned in immunology, it actually is clinically applicable in perio. It's so funny because sometimes people are like, why are we learning this? And then you get to our class and hopefully we explain how that's all related and why we really do need to have all this science background in order to adequately diagnose people, treat people, really know how to manage them.
Right.
So I don't know. That's another one of my favorite parts about perio, that it really just like makes sense at a biochem, micro, immunology kind of level.
Right.
See, I like the other part. I like the bloody guts.
Yeah, and I wish that some of our professors, freshman year, D1 year, whatever you want to call it, talked about that a bit more, because the material is pretty cut and dry as far as like learning about micro and whatnot. But now that I know we've talked about this, that D2 is definitely harder than D1 year, but we're more likely to study because it's more geared towards what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives. And if we could incorporate that somehow into D1 year a bit more, I think it would make the studying more interesting versus
just bland. Well, of course, and you want to know why you're studying for something. I think exactly. That's the hardest part is that it's so much work. Dental school is not easy. Dental school is actually one of the toughest experiences that any of us can have. And the year you guys are in, I have blocked out. I don't remember because that's how bad it can be. Yeah. And I know that. I'm aware of that. But I do think that anything we can do to explain the clinical applicability of something, it just makes it that much more compelling for you to learn it. And it really makes it be a sensible thing instead of a hurdle or instead of, well, people had to learn this before, so that's why we're doing it. That's really not the reason. And you're right. Maybe that's something that we should look into doing so that you know why you're doing something, right? That makes it a lot easier to commit all that time and effort and give things up when you know it's like for an actual reason that's going to help you in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah, me and Sokola were talking about that last night. It's like, you know, I have a lot of friends because I was actually an econ major in undergrad. So a lot of my friends like went and got business jobs, sales jobs, selling, all that good stuff. And, you know, weddings will come up and bachelor parties will come up and things like that. And they're like, bro, just take time off. Like, just take the weekend off. Just like study during the week. And I'm like, man, like it's not one of those things where it's like a 9 to 5 and then I can just go about my day. Like it's 9 to 5 and then you start your study schedule for the evening or you wake up early in the morning to get it done. It's crazy how dental school is a bubble in a sense of its own.
Yeah, and not only that, I think it's really kind of sometimes you don't remember like how much you have to give up in order to go with it. And the same thing, you know, I'm kind of old now, which is totally golden because that happens and it's a gift. But I was a bridesmaid in like 10 weddings and the same deal. People would be like, well, can you come to this, you know, rehearsal thing, or can you come to this? And I'd be like, I have these tests. Like, I'm arranging my life to be in your wedding and to be part of that day, and that's amazing. But you do have to balance, and you do have to sacrifice things. And yeah, it's a lot to give up to be able to get to this point. But man, it's really fun and it's really worth it.
It really is. And what I tell everybody, it's 4 short years. Like, I mean, after we're out of this, I mean, we're gonna be able to look back and be like, man, look at this awesome thing that we accomplished, and then.
I think what's going to happen is y'all are going to black out this entire year, and then that's how you really move forward.
The last like, black okay. years.
Yeah, we blacked out a lot freshman year.
Different reasons, different times, guys. Oh, God.
So anyway, so we're talking about this incredible journey, and we're talking about how interesting dental school is. So what we want to know is, after your incredible experience at Auburn, your 4.5 years of War Eagle, how did you end up in dental school? What was your journey like getting there?
Sure. So actually, I grew up and I have a very medically related family. And I'd always kind of thought, you know, I will do something in that general sphere, but didn't know what. And grew up with a general dentist who's actually a really good friend of my family. And he'd been the one to kind of say, hey, take a look at dental because I think you would really like it. But when I was in college, my whole goal in college was to do as much as possible while I was there. So like I did a biology degree, I did biomedical sciences, but I got a second degree in psychology. And I think as a dentist, I use that more than anything in the world. So that was really amazing. I had the opportunity to do. So when I started looking and really realized that a lot of the specialties in medicine that I liked, I did not like the lifestyle. I did not like a lot of things that went with it. And even going into dentistry, I was like, you know, I really think I could do this and like it, but I kind of always gravitated towards the grosser things. I don't know. I will say the first time I ever pulled a tooth, I was on a mission trip and I was 16 and I literally almost threw up. I was like, this is the most disgusting thing anybody could ever do. Why would anyone want to do this field? But it really, I was working with a dentist down there and he was just so patient and so amazing and it was really fun to see. So when I did decide that I wanted to do dental and ended up in Birmingham, same thing. I just wanted to be open. Like, you want to be open to life experiences as they come. And I think that if you have a set idea of what you're going to do, you kind of maybe would miss out on something that you didn't know that you had the option to do. And so I think I was really open and tried to do as much, like, you know, outside of dental stuff and other things while I was in school and take selectives if they were offered and I thought they were interesting. I mean, one of the coolest things I got to do in dentistry is I had a professor who wanted me to go do a forensic identification with him. And literally what he told me was, hey, Owens, you talk a lot, so I won't be bored on the 4-walk block down to the moor. Come with me. So that it was just such an awesome experience to kind of be part of. And if I had been interested in that, what an exposure, right? Mm-hmm. But I always liked perio when I was in dental school. I always liked a lot of what the residents did. I did not particularly enjoy my undergrad experience as far as what we had to manage, because we just did all the care on our patients, and I just happened to get a lot of skilling and replaning. But it was just kind of one of those things, when you have it work out and you actually get to see results on somebody, it's pretty impactful. And then when I was in school, Katrina happened and kind of changed a lot of things in my life.
What year were you in school when
Katrina
occurred?
So I was in my third year, and second year when it happened.
It's always the second year that stuff.
And the thing is, though, so my whole family evacuated to Birmingham with me. Like, they were staying in my 3-bedroom tiny townhouse. My roommate happened to be one of my really good friends from college, and so I was like, hey, I'm gonna sleep in your room, aren't you excited? There were 4 or 5 dogs in our house. Like, it was just,
my gosh.
It was crazy. And I would go home every weekend afterwards. I would drive down and go help clear trees for, you know, hours, and clear house stuff and do all kinds of stuff like that for weeks. And so when all of that kind of settled down and I was still in school, I knew I kind of wanted to head back to New Orleans when things started opening back up. I really wanted to be part of, like, that rebuilding effort, but I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and so I didn't want to commit to anything too big. And so the way I got back to LSU is that I applied to do a residency at the hospital. I did a GPR and figured no matter what, it would give me a lot more experience in the medical field, which I really, again, grew up very comfortable with. And I don't know, it was really awesome to be back here when, like, they were rebuilding and you were part of this effort and this movement and young people moving back to the city. So that's kind of how I made my way back to Louisiana, but I still wasn't sure what I wanted to do as a career, which is crazy, right? I still think that you just want to be open to stuff. So yeah.
So you did a 1-year GPR after your dental school graduation, mm-hmm. and then you worked in private practice, is that correct?
Yeah, so I practiced for about a year, and I actually did part-time as a general dentist, and I did part-time. I ended up getting an appointment. They had me become a faculty member and get a hospital appointment to staff GPR residents the year after I finished, which is kind of, in hindsight, a little crazy. But yeah, I kind of, like, at that point decided, you know what, I really still like perio. I still think I want to do it. And so I applied. And the funny thing about applying once you've already gone out into the workforce is that when you get into residencies for dental, it was still a full year. So I knew that I was going to do perio in August, but I wasn't going to start until the following July. And that was great. It really gave me the opportunity to, you know, experience that year with just kind of being open to a lot of things and, you know, a lot of different situations. And I was staffing at the hospital, all these crazy complicated patients and complicated med histories, and, you know, just trying to balance everything was interesting. And then when I went and actually started my residency in perio, I got permission to moonlight. So I still worked as a general dentist through my residency, which, you know, it's kind of funny once you start changing your tract of thinking in one way and you have a foot in both worlds. That was an interesting experience also. But I can't say how invaluable I think it was to actually be in a general dentistry realm, because I think it gives you as a specialist such a better perspective when you get to kind of see, you know, what the real world's like, for sure, and how things really are, unlike, you know, how it gets taught at schools where it's like these ideal situations. That does not exist.
Right. So do you think if you had to do it all over again, you would still go back and do the general dentistry?
Oh, yeah. I think that especially, so I wanted a hospital program. My goal when I was doing it, and again, anybody who ever wants to go into something like a GPR or an AGD, you have to know what you want out of it. Mine was, I wanted more medical experience. I got my IV sedation license, and I got to do things as a general dentist that you would never get to otherwise. I had an ER month rotation, and we weren't dentists. We were interns, like, and so I was doing full head and neck exams, full body exams. And the things that I got to do when I was there was insane. They would be they'd be like, "Dennis, you're doing well. You're going to be on the gunshot room." And I'm like, "No,
I'm a dentist.
Put me back in the low impact, like nobody needs anything kind of room." They let me go do one of the heliport transplants. They let me manage patients that came in with like MIs, like crazy stuff. You know, I'm suturing headlocks. Like dentists are real good at suturing. And so like they'd be like, oh, you can do the eyebrow. You're real good at lining things up. It was really a cool experience.
That's awesome. So do you recommend a GPR for everyone that comes out of dental school? Or do you think just, I guess, what's your recommendation on that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, again, it kind of depends on what you want. You know, it's so hard with dental school because the system we have in the U.S. right now is that it's a four-year program. And in that 4 years, you actually have to train people to be professionals and to be doctors. It's a doctorate-level training program. And that's very different from other education models like medicine, where your medical degree, although special and important and wonderful, actually can't let you practice until you've done further training. In fact, you can't get licensed in a lot of states until you've done a full year of internship. So we don't have the same model. But I do think that there is something to be said that in 4 years, you might not have the experience that you want. And there's something so important about, you know, in school and in residency, like messing up if you mess up and having somebody to help you learn how to fix it.
Right.
Not purposefully. I'm not suggesting that. Please don't anybody in my class ever do that. But this is the time that it's just so impactful to, you know, learn things. And so for me, it was like, why not? But I didn't say I wanted to go do another year and that I was really going to hone my dental skills and be the best aesthetic dentist. That's not what the GPR would have gotten me, so no reason. There's people that finish and they do feel comfortable and they do have situations and mentors waiting for them in practices where they want to go. And on-the-job training is not a bad thing either. It's an apprenticeship almost at the beginning. And you kind of build your skill set over time. Like a lot of dentists, when they finish, I think one of the hardest things in general dentistry right now is how big the field is. It's really hard to be great at a lot of different things. And so even as a general dentist, I think that you kind of have to develop what you like doing, right? Yeah. Like if you like something and not something else, well, then, you know, refer that thing you don't like,
right,
and do the thing you do like. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we just put so much pressure to like be so good at everything. And I don't know what path you have to take to get there, but, you know, CE, lifelong learning, like it's all kind of part of the same idea. Like we're never done because the minute you finish, there's something new coming out.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just always amazed me, like with general dentistry, how many things you can do as a general dentist. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. So what advice do you have for dental students or young dentists or pre-dental students?
So it's kind of twofold. I definitely, when I was in dental school, after my second year, kind of was like, what am I doing? Do I even want to do this? I'm not 100% sure. And I had a really great encounter where someone told me, you know, Jessica, you never said, well, when I grow up, I want to go to dental school. When you grow up, you want to be a dentist. This is the step to get there. So if you do get demoralized along the way, it's okay. Like, you're completely normal.
Right.
One of my favorite dentists that I ever know told me, he's like, yeah, I hated dental school. I took a year off. I mean, this was back in the 70s when you could do things like that and, like, not, like, lose, you know, tens of thousands of dollars
Marco
of tuition.
Marco said, year off?
Yeah, who knew? But it was so nice for me to feel like that was a normal feeling, and I've still gone on to find a career that's so amazing. And that's the second thing I would say. Find something you are passionate about, right? Work is work. Like, that is what it is. It would be called something different if it was this joyful encounter at every moment.
It would be called a pre-dental podcast.
That's totally what it would be called. Exactly. How did y'all know? But realistically, you have to find joyful moments in everything you do, and you have to find the things you're passionate about. Like, I never, ever expected to be in teaching. And I just ended up, once I started, I loved it. And it was just one of those things that it changed, again, the path of my career. Like, who knew I would be doing what I'm doing right now? I never anticipated that. But if you find something that you're passionate about, it makes it so that the work part is a lot easier to deal with. And it doesn't even have to be with your job. It could be that you love your job as a dentist because it provides you with opportunities to volunteer. It provides you with opportunities to travel. It provides you with the ability to have a family. Like, there's so many things about the profession that's great. And I don't think there's anything wrong with anyone for finding something that maybe isn't somebody else's passion. And that's okay. That's, like, why we're all different, right? But I really do think that that's one of the things. If you're tired, you're stressed, you're doubting, why you're doing something, don't forget, like, your goal might be something different that you're working towards. And it doesn't matter if you're a dental student, a new dentist, whatever. That's really something that I think I wish I could have told my younger self at the time and saved me a little bit of stress and anxiety
right.
along the way.
I think that was solid.
Yeah,
that
I feel like we're in church right now. Said, preaching. I needed to hear this after last week.
Marco got wrecked last week.
I told you guys, D2 here, it's so hard.
It's just like getting punched in the face repeatedly.
It'll be like your version of childbirth.
Yeah.
You're just going to like forget it, so then you can tell people, yes, going to dental school is okay.
It's fine. You'll get through it.
You will get through it. Totally
I ate some bad
will.
Chinese food one time. So that's pretty comparable.
That's what you thought? Yes. I had a kidney stone in dental school chronic dehydration.
Oh.
That was pretty terrible. I don't know what was worse, second year of that. Yeah.
They both sound awful.
Yeah.
No, it is, though. It is an experience to get through for sure, but it just has such rewards at the end.
So, quick question here, but what drew you to teaching versus going back into private practice as a periodontist?
I think it was actually, again, it's situational, it's life stuff. So I was in my last year of residency and I had some family things happen. I had my dad get in a really bad accident and I was trying to deal with stuff with that and deal with my third year of residency and all my cases and, you know, really honing my skill set. And I just didn't find a job that I wanted. And so when they had a job become available here, they asked me to stay and thought I would be good at it. And one of my mentors, who she's not at LSU any longer, but I still talk to her all the time, and she was just, you know, try it. I think you'd really enjoy it. And sure enough, even though there's a lot of like really crazy downsides to anything we choose, and, you know, being a periodontist and not being a private practice one and teaching instead is an interesting decision when you paid tuition to go to dental school in the first place and are still paying off your loans years later. But yeah, I just found I really liked it, and it was such a great environment to be in. And I just think that, like, the impact that I can have on general dentists and then the population as a whole is immense. And then because I'm in a department that's very supportive of a lot of things that I've wanted to do, it means that there are initiatives I've gotten to do, like we're doing stuff with immunizations. Just asking patients if their vaccines are up to date is almost a public health measure, right? I've been really big on us taking blood glucose on patients who are diabetic so that we can be monitoring for that for them, and also so that we can be relating it to their perio disease and if it's really a good idea for them to sit for treatment. So I just think there are so many things I've gotten to do that have this impact that's just so much greater than what I would have gotten to do as just a private practice dentist or a periodontist. But I do still, I have my faculty practice here, and I get crazy things. I get a lot of referrals that are things that maybe need to be with a little bit more of specialized care and attention. So it's been a really, really interesting scenario, some of the things that have made their way to me through faculty practice as well.
So I think that kind of leads to the next question. What's a wild or crazy story that you've had through residency or being here?
Yeah, good question. That's really interesting. So I think one of the most memorable ones, and this is, again, a little bit of advice, and it would be always listen to your intuition. So I had a patient that got referred here, and it's been a long, long time, but did an exam, and what they wanted was to fix a front tooth. They wanted to do an implant on their front tooth. But when I started looking around at their back teeth, they were missing a bunch of teeth and had some cavities and had, you know, an implant that had been placed and never restored, meaning that they maybe didn't have the best follow-through with their treatment. And so when I was trying to explain to the patient that me doing an implant in the front would actually be a terrible plan because there's not enough in the back to support it, and I think it would fail. And the patient was very open to what I was saying, and, you know, I told him, okay, well, instead of doing this implant, the first thing we would have to do is, you know, let's do this full exam on you, let's get a full set of x-rays and even see where we would need to go. Here's your treatment plan, let him sign it so he would know all the fees for everything. Did the exam, took the x-rays, he went to go check out, and my assistant was like, you know what, I'm gonna stay around for just a minute. Like, she just had that feeling. Sure enough, he came back and just blew up about things that were just like crazy, like that I had lied about prices and that I was being lazy and like just really insane stuff. Well, I ended up calling the referring dentist and kind of said, hey, you know, thank you so much for the referral. I think we maybe had a miscommunication with the patient, so just wanted to talk to you about it. And they flat told me that their office had very negative interactions with the patient and said some things that I couldn't write in the note. So, you know, listen to that gut intuition. And, like, you know, thank goodness my assistant was like, I'm going to stay. And while you're writing these notes, which is a boring thing to stay for, because she just had that feeling that the patient was going to come back with something. And a couple years later, he tried to get back into the school with a different name, and they had all sorts of security stuff. And I was like, well, I don't want to be involved in this at all. I'll just, you know, go away. It's totally fine.
When a patient blows up on you like that, how do you deal with that in the clinic?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of situations I've been in. Actually, when I was a general dentist, I had stuff happen that was crazy. I had a patient one time on nitrous who disclosed after we started the nitrous that she was having really negative self-thoughts.
Oh.
You know, like a very gentle turn the nitrous off, turn the oxygen back up, sit her back up, start talking about it. She had just been diagnosed with MS and didn't want to tell anybody.
Oh.
So there's a lot of times where stuff's come up. You know, when I did that residency program at the hospital, I had to tell a patient that they were HIV positive. There's a lot of things that the way you do it is with compassion and empathy. And I think that every patient encounter, don't forget that, you know, that person has their own life and their own problems and their own things going on. So try to treat them with that dignity and respect. Sometimes I think we're trying to rush to get through our day. And because things in the dental world, we're so used to them, we might run through something that a patient doesn't really understand. And I think really taking that time to like connect with them so you can tell them bad news. You know, if you listen to me in the clinic all the time, I'll tell students, I'm like, you know, I tell patients bad things all the time, but I try to say it in a really positive way. And one of the first things is you're at a great place to get some stuff done. You know, a lot of patients, what we tell them is that, you know, your treatment's going to be complicated. It's not going to be an easy option, but we're so glad that you're here because this is where we can really help you. And I think that that is ultimately at the end of the day. I mean, why do you go to dental school? Why do you want to be a dentist? Like, we like people. We want to help people. And I just think that learning to do it with that empathy and really trying to remember things about patients that you don't know and remember the things they don't know about you. And it just makes it such a better interaction. And with that patient that I was telling you about with that crazy, he blew up at me situation, I was really proud of how I handled that at the time because, you know, I tried to be as calm and professional as possible and diffuse a situation that it's a crazy world. You don't know anymore what can go awry here. And so I think like having those skill sets and kind of like taking a deep breath and trying to bring yourself back down and, you know, really just, you know, go back to the patient with my ultimate goal is your health and caring for you. It makes a lot of things that are negative turn into a positive.
Definitely. I think that's really good advice, just having compassion. I think it's so easy to become jaded just in a health profession because you're surrounded by sick people all the time and people with health complications, so you just get jaded to everything. So it's always important.
It's always kind of frustrating, too, when you're telling somebody and you almost want to be like, do you not understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Exactly.
That's hard. Yes. But I think if you notice that someone does not like hear what you say, it's funny. I do it in teaching, too, and this is why Zoom has been not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I try to look at y'all to see if y'all are getting something. And if you're not, I'll try to explain it a different way or come at it from a different perspective. So when you take that away and we really don't have like a good facial recognition going on, just it makes it, yeah, I'm
start
like.
Start typing a frowny face
in
the Zoom chat.
I'm literally like, let me stop and ask. And then I usually follow the question that no one answers with crickets. Like, what are we doing? I just need some kind of indication that someone is okay. I don't care what the indication
are
is.
You
or
people
not okay.
Alive?
Yes, that is it.
Any more questions, Marco?
I do have one, but you're gonna get mad at me for asking it because it's another. Oh, I'll just ask it.
Okay. Good.
So,
oh,
so
boy.
So, as a periodontist, do you do gingivectomies? Okay, because I get that confused with a gingivectomy when I'm telling Clayton to cut out his antics.
Y'all are. Okay, I should have.
I think I should have too. I should have warned you.
There was
I did
quicksand that I saw, and yet I kept walking.
I didn't even know it was coming. I get that.
I see what you did there. Thanks.
I didn't even know that. He's been working on that one for no telling how long now.
I might have to repurpose it and use it
yes,
in a different situation.
Definitely. Definitely.
Oh my goodness gracious. That
oh,
is too
gosh.
Ridiculous.
Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. It's been a really insightful podcast. You know, I
He can't even get those words out.
No, I'm being serious. Like, because sometimes, like last week, I had a rough week. I was not a shining star.
Like most weeks, but that's true.
Y'all, my test is in 2 days. I'm thinking that this week is not going to be an easy week, too. I'm sorry.
No, but seriously, I think that's probably the most rewarding thing on our end is like hearing awesome advice and being able to share that with others, because it is solid. And I think people need to hear this, which is why we continue to.
I love the advice of you didn't. Like the dental school advice, like you didn't want to become a dentist. So like you're going to dental school and that's not the reason. Say it again. Like the dental school.
Say it again. Sam. I don't know what I said. Let
that me dementia
kicking in. No, I'm just saying that when you go in and like you don't know necessarily what you want to do, but it's okay if along the way you got a little lost and a little trying to find your direction, just recenter, take a deep breath and know you're not alone. And if you hate dental school after 2 years, that's normal. It's totally fine. Yeah. It's good. You know, I think if you really enjoy and love that part, then you have some other things that you probably need to deal with. It's hard to be enrolled in essentially 33 hours of college in a semester. That is insane. Actually, you guys, look how nice this year was for you. There's no... like tailgating for you to miss.
It's great.
There's no concerts. There's nothing else for you to do.
I really hated going to those things.
I know. It was terrible.
Exhausting. Going to Bourbon after we won the national championship.
Seriously, it wore me out.
It's too much. It's too much to expect y'all to deal with. So I am really happy that we could take away all of those extra things. No, really. This year has been so hard. And I'm sure that... you know, just y'all's class has been so resilient and y'all just rolled with the punches. It's really awesome to see. We're doing our best to do the same. So I just think you guys need to celebrate the small wins and really just, you know, don't forget when things get bad. Everybody's been there. And that's totally normal.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much.
Absolutely. It's been awesome. It's been a good time.
It has. Any more jokes you need to make before?
I was really trying to think of one last joke. I don't know. Maybe I'll go live or something later on the Insta if I can think of one. But I think we're good for now. I really just wanted to give that to direct. Well, anyways.
You're still the only one laughing.
It's usually how it is.
Anyways, this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.